This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Off and Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Back after a day off yesterday. Hope everyone had a great time with Doc yesterday, including you, Anthony. You said it was fun, so I'm taking your word for it. So we're back. It's Friday. We're talking hoops, we're talking a little football, and we're also talking a little baseball today. Toby's going to swing by in a little bit, and then Clint Yates as well today, talking about that Ken Rosenthal story that caught my eye earlier this week. Rizzo responded to it with the Junkies on Wednesday, I believe it was, and I told you we were going to talk about it on Friday, and we came through with not one, but two people who know baseball way better than I do. So that'll be coming up 4:30 and 6 o'clock with Toby and with Yates. Also, because I was out yesterday, never read the comments at 5:30, but we start last night in the Garden. Not to be confused, Anthony, with the Gadden. That's the one in Boston. The Garden, the one in New York.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that is where the New York Knicks, they just hit everything. And it was a rather uneventful game five because of it. This series, in some ways, is really interesting. And in some ways, Anthony, is just heinously uninteresting. If role players hit shots and you get a slightly friendly whistle, you get to win. And that's kind of what happened last night. There is a couple of stretches in the second quarter where the game is in the balance, and I feel like the Knicks got a slightly friendly whistle, which happens. I'm not saying anything nefarious. I'm not going conspiracy theory Bill Simmons here that, like, the NBA wants New York in the final. Like, I don't mean it in that way. Just in the same way that I thought Indiana got some calls in game four at home, I thought the Knicks got a couple of calls in game five at home. And this happens because, you know, when you're a human being, you make mistakes and you're not perfect, even if you're an NBA or maybe especially if you're an NBA referee, and no one is immune to the energy of a home crowd. And also sometimes you just miss stuff. And so, like, there was a couple of times where Karl Anthony Towns is driving, and I feel like he pushed off, or he had one block that was definitively a foul. I think it was on Obi Toppin. There was a drive, and, like, Reggie Miller and Stan Van Gundy were like, that was a foul. And in that same time period, the Knicks hit a couple of shots. Jalen Brunson was incredible in the first quarter. You know, Cat has continually been outstanding when he's been on the floor and not in foul trouble. And so he's on the floor because he doesn't pick up a couple of calls. Brunson, who, by the way, is doing some just silly stuff away from the ball. Last night, he just grabs Benedict Mathurin's jersey at one point. And I'm glad that the broadcast actually caught it. I saw it happen live, and I'd already started typing out a post. And then the broadcast showed the replay, and I was like, no. I saw it the first time because he was doing silly stuff the other night in game four when he was getting frustrated. But he got away with it. Credit to him. Keeps on playing. And meanwhile, Indiana can't hit a shot to save their life. And that's how the Knicks won game five. Excellent night from Brunson. Excellent night from Towns. Go back to Indiana, and now we see what happens.
Yeah, I think the fact that the Knicks were able to sort of kind of dictate the pace of the game. This wasn't one of those high-scoring games. I think the high-scoring games more so favor the Indiana Pacers, and we've seen that when they went out and scored 138 or put up 130, And even their other one, I think they had 114. But the high scoring games are the games where, you know, the Pacers can get out in transition. They can get easier buckets. Yesterday, that didn't happen. I think New York was very good about limiting them. They essentially made Tyrese Haliburton a non-factor. He wasn't allowed to, you know, dictate as much as he's done the last four games. So I think them just relying on their defense and, you know, sort of kind of like taking those guys out of the game was huge. But also, I mean, I'm not going to bank on, you know, Indiana missing as many wide open shots as they did. Like Nesmith had, he's been like super open the last couple of games, and he's come up short. So I think if he hits a couple of shots, like, it is definitely a different ball game. They don't have 100 points. They how many did they have yesterday? Oh, 94. They don't have
94 the final. Yeah.
They don't have 94. So
and the right guys didn't take enough shots. Yep, like, I mean, Nesmith, sure, he's 1 of 8 and it's 1 of 5 from 3. So like, that's a terrible shooting night.
Mm-hmm.
But like, actually, wow. Oh, that's threes. Okay. I thought I was looking at field goals for a second. I was like, that stat can't be right. But nobody in their starting lineup hit more than 1 3. Haliburton, 0 for 2. Nemhard, 0 for 1. Turner, 1 for 2. Nesmith, 1 for 5. Siakam, 1 for 3. That is not great. And nobody in their starting lineup hit more than 5 field goals. In fact, Benedict Mathurin's the only guy that hit more than 5 in the entire game. Siakam went 5 for 13.
Yeah.
Nesmith, 1 of 8. Turner, 2 for 3. Miles Turner took 3 shots in 24 minutes. That's not good enough. Andrew Nembhard, 3 for 8. Tyrese Haliburton, only 2 of 7. When he takes 16 shots, I'm pretty sure they're undefeated this year. He only got off 7 yesterday. Just for contrast, the Knicks, Bridges, 6 for 12. Towns, 10 for 20. Brunson, 12 for 18 en route to his 32 points. And I think you can say, like, oh, well, were the Pacers aggressive enough? I think the Knicks did a good job defensively. Like, I think that they were able to force Haliburton in some areas of the floor where he had to, you know, move the ball and give it up. They're able to get the ball late in the clock to guys like Nembhard. And those are choices that teams make, right? Can you funnel the ball in your rotations to be like, we're going to leave Andrew Nembhard open. And if Andrew Nembhard beats us, good luck Pacers in the NBA Finals. We're not letting Tyrese Haliburton, who just dropped 40 on us, 40, 15, 12, 4 steals, 0 turnovers, first, not just playoff game, first game in NBA history that a player's ever done that. We're not letting you do that again. And I think the Knicks did a good enough job last night, along with, obviously, some misses. But to me, it's less the percentages and more the attempts. And Indiana, a team that doesn't turn it over a whole lot, has 20 turnovers as a team last night. And that obviously is a huge difference as well.
Yeah, the 20 turnovers is definitely a lot. I think also the Knicks, just, again, piggybacking off the defensive intensity, Jalen Brunson finally, you know, was out there making a concerted effort. I thought, you know, throughout the entire series, he was the one that they were picking at. And finally, yesterday, he actually defended pretty well, and he didn't allow a lot of easier buckets. So I think if they can bring that on the road, which they've sort of kind of struggled to do in this series or in the playoffs, like bring that intensity on the road, I think they can get the job done in Indy. I think it's going to be tough, but it's possible. It's hard to win in Indy, man. It is tough.
The thing, like, before the show, when I was thinking about like what we were going to talk about with this, there was part of me that was like, you know, hey, they've got to, you know, it's the role players play better at home, so it'll be fine. Yeah. Like the Knicks, but I was like, oh wait, no, the Pacers won the first two games on the road in this series, and then there was a split in Indiana. So it's not just like, hey, the Knicks went back home, the role players played better, everything will be fine, or they're in trouble because they're going on the road now and everything's not going to be fine. If you're Indiana, you can't bank on the fact that you're going home and everything is going to be fine. This to me is the question, is like, one, how does Haliburton come out? If he controls the pace, Indiana probably wins. And not that nothing else matters, but on the list of things that matter, that is probably the number one thing on the hierarchy. You mentioned the pace of this one was a little bit slower. The pace of the games where the Pacers are winning is much higher. Can Haliburton dictate pace? And if that's the case, is he doing it with attacking the rim, also taking some threes earlier in the clock, being willing to say, I'm going to hunt my shots And how does Rick Carlisle, one of the best coaches in the sport, create those shots? Like, those are, to me, the questions going into game six.
Yeah, and I think just adding off that, again, pace. So if at the end of the first quarter it's 35-30 in favor of the Knicks, I'm probably leaning the Pacers, you know, to be favored in the game, even if they are trailing, just because of how fast it is. You gotta be in the 20s. It gotta be a low scoring affair.
27-23 last night after one.
Exactly. So I think that's the kind of ball game we need to see. And then to also hold Indiana to 45 points in the first half, I think that's huge. So
yeah.
Defense dictating the pace. And then also Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns went out there and had 24 again. So he's getting some help now. So
Towns has been, when on the floor, incredibly effective.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a great series when he's on the floor. The problem is, you know, he's on with TNT postgame, and Charles Barkley's like, why you commit so many dumb fouls? And Karl-Anthony Towns goes, only God knows. And I'm like, unfortunately for you, Carl, that seems to be the answer, because you can't stop. You certainly don't know.
And he knows they're dumb fouls. Like, it makes no – pushing a dude in the back, you know that is a foul.
But he got away – he also got away with some of them last night.
He did.
Like, again, I promise I'm not doing a bit. Like, I almost feel bad saying it, because it sounds like, oh, you're just drumming up – like, no, like – refs miss calls in games, in basketball especially. Like, there's too many possessions for them to be perfect. And if you miss two versus, like, if you catch two of four instead of letting four go, those are two extra fouls on Karl Towns. He's not on the, it's a totally different ball game. Like, mm-hmm. The margins are small. That's the playoffs. And so the fact that he's got a little bit of a push there that could be called either way and isn't called, or a charge that isn't called, like, those things can change the series, because in many ways, the best thing the Pacers can do is get Karl Towns in foul trouble. And if Karl-Anthony Towns is in foul trouble, then he can't destroy them. And if he's not in foul trouble, he's seemingly going to destroy them.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson also, destroyer last night again. 12 of 18, 4, 7 from 3. Heck of a night from Brunson. When we get back, we're going to take one final look, since I wasn't here yesterday, on the Western Conference Finals, and more so put a post-mortem on the Minnesota Timberwolves season, and why, despite the fact that I kind of told you so on Anthony Edwards, I'm also not that mad at what he said post-game, when a lot of other people are mad at it. Those things are actually related. I'll explain next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Toby Altizer going to pop over here in a few minutes to talk about the Nationals and answer the question, are the Nationals now amongst Major League Baseball's bottom feeders? That is the premise that was put forth by Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic this week. Been waiting to talk to Toby about this all week, and Altizer is going to stop by in just a few. Of course, Toby, the host of our Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast. But right now, going to talk about this. Anthony Edwards was asked post-game about his reflections of losing in the Western Conference Finals. And the 23-year-old star of the Minnesota Timberwolves said this, question included in this soundbite. Here we go.
Won a gold medal, so you know what it's like to be a champ. You know what it's like, knowing what it's like to be on the winning side, how much does it hurt, and what does it feel like to come up short of the finals 2 years in a row?
It's exciting. I don't know why people would think it would hurt. I mean, it's exciting for me. I'm 23. I get to do it a whole bunch of times. I'm hurt more so for myself, for Mike. I came up short for Mike. Like I said, we tried last year. We couldn't get it. We tried again this year. We're going to try again next year. But hurting is a terrible word to use. I'm good. Yeah.
And predictably, people hated that. People hate it. People would like to see their athletes just absolutely self-flagellate after they lose. Just, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. I can't believe, I don't know how I'm going to go on. I'm going to cry myself to sleep. I'm not going to eat for a month. Like, that's what people want. Anthony Edwards is 23 years old. He's made two straight Western Conference Finals. He's rich as hell. Like, his life is going to be fine. And I don't even know if he's coming at it from the perspective of, like, I got a bunch of other stuff outside of basketball. You know, someone like Nikola Jokic, I think you'd imagine that. You know, hey, how much does it hurt? Yeah, it sucks, but I get to go drink beer and play with my horses. Like, I got other stuff. My life is good. I love my wife and my kids, and I get to go be with my family. Like, it's not even necessarily that with Anthony Edwards, although that might be part of it, that he's got other things that he values in life beyond basketball, which is, that makes you human. It makes you also a better basketball player. Being a well-balanced person makes you better at your job in all jobs. But there's also just the reality that, like, it didn't say he didn't care about losing. Making Western Conference Finals at 23 years old is hard. Winning the NBA championship at 23 years old is basically impossible. Like, the only guys that have really won a title that young are Magic and Bird. Like, and Magic did it with Kareem, who was probably the best player in the league at the time. So that gets counted in through the lens of history as Magic Johnson's first of five titles. And sure, but in many ways it should be seen, if we're being cynical about it, in the same way that it was the first of Kobe's five when he won it with Shaq. The best player on the first Lakers championship team with Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal was Shaquille O'Neal. By the second title, they were closer to equals, and by the third, maybe Kobe was better. But Shaq was the most dominant force in the league by a mile that first year. He was ridiculous, too, in those playoffs, in those finals, everything. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, in 1980, was the best basketball player on the planet. And he was still one of the best all the way through most of that run. So the idea that you just are get to be the best player on a title team at 23 is not a thing that happens in reality in the NBA. This league is hard. And it's why, going back to the beginning of the playoffs, I said, like, hey, do we trust Anthony Edwards? And it wasn't like, do we trust Anthony Edwards to ever win a title? Do we trust Anthony Edwards' ability to get better? Like, actually do trust his ability to get better. What I didn't trust was that he could be consistent enough against a team the caliber of Oklahoma City, who's got depth in numbers despite their youth, that he could be good enough to override that. And that is just how this goes. Basketball, like, Anthony, super LeBron fan, Anthony Haney, I need your LeBron expertise. What do you think was the peak of LeBron James's powers? Like, when was what year was LeBron James the best basketball player he ever was?
I would probably say 2012, 2013 LeBron.
Okay, so if we go LeBron James basketball reference, we're saying LeBron James is 2012 year. So they lose in 2011 to the Mavs. 2012, he comes back. That would track. 2012, 2013, and then actually, both years he won MVP, 11-12 and then 12-13. But that 12-13 year, he averaged a career high in field goal makes. He shot, that was the year he shot like 60% from the field, I think, right? Shot 56% from the field, averaged 26 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, a block a game. So yeah, well, that year works. It's crazy because looking at all the LeBron years, they all just blend together in insane goodness.
Yeah, I was about
it's
to
like,
say.
Like, oh, was it 08-09 when he averaged 30? Was it this other year when he led the NBA in assists in 2019-20 with the Lakers? He averaged 10 assists a game that year. It's crazy. But I think you're probably right. That was about the peak of his powers. It's either that. It's that stretch from like 2012 to about
this is peak 20... athleticism. So that's more sort of what I was going off of.
Well, it's everything, yeah. Right? It's like, when do you have the know-how and the skill, mm-hmm. but yeah. also you haven't lost your athleticism yet. So yeah. Like eventually you have this wily know-how that allows you to continue to play into your 30s. And depending on your skill set, a guy like Steph Curry you could argue some of Steph Curry's years were like in his early 30s,
yep.
were his best years because he wasn't a guy that relied upon his vertical abilities, his quickness. It was savvy and timing and rhythm and the skill of shooting, which he was always great at and somehow seemed to get better at and would add new ways that he could create shots to his game. NBA players aren't fully formed. So if we go even the earliest of that, 2012, 2013, that is LeBron James's age 28 season. 28. The year he averaged 30 was 07-08, his second to last year in Cleveland. That's the season that Anthony Edwards is in right now. And that was, you know, he averaged 30, but he also did it on, where are we at with LeBron? 48% shooting. His career high in field goal attempts. He shot it over almost 22 times a game that year.
Dang.
And that's in the 2007-2008 NBA.
Yeah.
At the pace that they played at back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that, I'm not saying Anthony Edwards is going to become LeBron James, but I'm just saying we're 5 years in Anthony Edwards from the age that we said LeBron James started the best years of his career. And that same thing is true for every single great player. And so while I think Anthony Edwards is correct in saying, like, I feel, and I'm glad he said this because it is important, right? These times, ask Kevin Durant, by the way, Ant's favorite player. Like, hey man, 2012 finals, how often did you think you and Russ and James were going? Turns out that was the last series you ever played together. Because Presti traded Harden that offseason. Right?
Yeah,
he and Russ are up 3-1 in 2015. Or 2016. Game 6, Clay. Warriors on to the finals, where they ironically blow the 3-1 lead. Like, these opportunities are fleeting. These opportunities are hard. You should cherish every single one of them. You should, if you're being realistic, have some hurt about the fact that you let one, like you got this far and didn't get farther. But also, Anthony Edwards is correct to be excited the fact that he has gotten this far twice in a row at the age of 23. That is a remarkable accomplishment because he is unquestionably the best player on these teams. And does that guarantee anything for next year? No, especially when the Thunder are the youngest team in the league and they are a behemoth. And Wemby's coming. And we'll see who else, you know, see what the Lakers do this offseason with Luka and LeBron now together. Like, there's, the West is phenomenal. But I think Minnesota's in a great spot. And as Edwards continues to refine his game, as Edwards becomes a better leader, which is just going to happen as he gets older, or it'll happen if he puts in the work as he gets older. Like, this team, this franchise is in a good spot. But the beat up on Anthony Edwards because he's not self-flagellating that he didn't win a title at 23 is just a lack of acknowledgement of NBA history that says you don't win an NBA title at 23. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, Toby Altizer, host of the Bustin' Loose Baseball Podcast, talks to us about a story that made quite some waves in the Nationals world this week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Talking a little bit of baseball on this Friday. We told you we were on this story all week and we were going to do this. And Toby Altizer, co-host of the Bustin' Loose Baseball Podcast, is with us to talk about an article that Ken Rosenthal wrote in The Athletic that essentially the premise, Toby, is that the Nats have become Major League Baseball's or one of Major League Baseball's bottom feeders. Mike Rizzo responded Wednesday on the Junkies. It has been talk about town all week. And I think there's this natural reflex to defend Rizzo and defend the Nats. So when you read the article, what did you think?
Yeah, so I think it was interesting because it's a weird timing for this, Craig, because you could have written this article 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, a year ago, and I think all of them might have been a slight bit more valid than right now, because I think actually the stuff that he says in this piece is all 100% valid. I don't know that there's a single thing that he says that's critical about the team that you could say that's not true, but I think some of the stuff has been addressed a little bit. Like, he talks about not being able to draft and develop. 100% true, something that's been a huge issue under Mike Rizzo. At the same point, over the last couple of years, they've actually drafted and developed some talent. And some of the guys coming up and helping out this team, like a Jake Irvin, is a success story. Someone that was drafted not in the first round, that was developed, now a part of the rotation. You know, his last start was spectacular, going 8 scoreless innings. He's on the hill tonight in Arizona for the Nationals as a part of the rotation. That's somebody that didn't happen for a long time. So to Rosenthal's point, yeah, that's something that the other teams have happen all the time. The Nationals haven't. But it seems like they're starting to go in that right direction. But I think the bigger point here is all of the stuff is 100% true. Ownership is a problem that they're not spending, because I think that's what's frustrating for a lot of Nationals fans this year is you've seen this team be competitive. They've already won series against the Dodgers. They just won a series in Seattle where the two games they won, they scored 9 runs and they scored 7 runs in the 10th inning last night. Like, they're not that far away from being at least above 500, but you have to invest a little bit. Like, James Wood is having an incredible season in his first full go-round. Mackenzie Gore is the first pitcher this year to get to 100 strikeouts. So some of the stuff that they've done has been spectacular, but there's still that little bit missing, and I think that falls on ownership a lot of times.
Toby Altizer, Bustin' Loose Baseball Podcast, over on 106.7 The Fan with us, or 106.7 The Fan and Team 980 contributor with us here on The Hoffman Show. So let's go there first, and then there's like a much bigger question that to me is like the big takeaway from the piece. To me is like the oh crap part of the piece. But have there been changes that Rizzo has made that have stemmed the problems? Like, are we seeing different results for a reason, or is this just drafts are crapshoots? He was bad. Now hopefully he's going to go on a heater, and that is how the averages will work out. Or have there been structural changes within the Nats R&D and scouting departments?
Yeah, there have been some changes. A couple of years ago, they moved on from some of their scouting directors and scouts, and they brought in a guy from the Orioles to help out with the draft, which I know the O's have kind of been a disaster this year, but something that they nailed throughout their rebuild was the draft. Finding guys like a Gunnar Henderson, who's one of the best young players, in the second round, right? So finding guys like that and bringing them in. So they've made some changes. Mike Rizzo's still at the top, obviously, and he's still got final say, but they've made some changes in terms of development, in terms of drafting. So I think that's why you're seeing some of those changes.
So the bigger, like, oh crap point that I have not been able to get out of my head all week is basically that, okay, good things are starting to happen now. And Rosenthal acknowledges some of this in the piece, right? He names some guys that are coming up, some guys like Wood that are already having great seasons, some guys, you know, Brady House, whoever, who are in the system and starting to emerge as real major league threats, or either threats as like they're here and starting to do good things, or like they are going to be in the major league soon. But then the timeline is ticking on guys like CJ Abrams, where it's like, well, yeah, but then by the time those guys are ready, guys like Abrams are going to hit free agency, and you're just going to cycle through another round of churn, and no one's actually going to be good enough on the Nationals at one time to be a competitive baseball team. And the premise there is that a lot of these guys are Boris clients. They're going to get to free agency, and the Nats are not going to be able to afford them. Is that part accurate? And if so, how concerning, like how many alarms of the fire are we talking about here?
I think with a guy like James Wood, who just got to the majors last year, and this is his first full season, I don't think the alarm bells are going off just yet for him, although he looks like he could be a superstar, like a legitimate superstar, and someone that we're talking about as a top five player in the sport in the next couple of years. He's so good. CJ and McKenzie are starting to run into that realm, like you're saying, where I think McKenzie becomes a free agent after the 27th season. CJ's a free agent after the 28th season. And so you've still got a little bit of time, but if you're going to continue to go down this road where you're not spending big amounts of money, then the big-time reinforcements for this team are here. Dylan Cruz, like you talked about the names already that are here. There's one other guy that I think is coming down the line that should be here at some point this year. That's Brady House, who's one of their top hitting prospects at third base. And so him coming in should give you a little bit of a boost. But, you know, I don't think Brady House is going to make a bigger difference than, say, spending $30 million a year on a starting pitcher, right? So getting a guy, like if they could have gone and got Max Fried, that's going to be a bigger thing than Brady House coming in here and helping. So, yeah, I think you run into that problem, Craig. That's the reality of things, where if you're not going to spend money, my thing here is, and my big takeaway from this, is the Nationals need to look themselves in the mirror and make a decision on how they're going to operate. They're in a big market, believe it or not. The way that they spend, I you know this, I worked in Milwaukee. They spend like the Milwaukee Brewers, where they're a small market team, but I was breaking this down the other day. So I wanted Max Fried as a name that I brought up as a free agent, and he's getting about $27, $28 million a year from the Yankees, a little more than I thought, but still someone that in the past maybe the Nationals could have been in on, similar to like a Max Scherzer type of deal. Instead, they're not. And they're acting like a big market team in that they don't have that pitching lab or something like the Guardians or another team that's a small market operates like. The Tampa Bay Rays, they don't spend money in free agency. They spend money on R&D. They spend money on finding ways to get that edge where they can't pay their players. But instead of paying $28 million for Max Fried, pay $12 million to build a pitching lab like Wake Forest has or something like that, where you can say, look, if we're not going to be able to sign the big-time free agents, then let's go ahead and start operating as such and find that little edge. And I think the issue that they're running into is they still operate like a big market without spending the money like a big market. Because I think Rizzo, when you think about big market general managers in the sport, they do a really good job of free agent contracts and trades. That's how they make their money. And draft and develop is something that, unlike other sports, you can't trade your draft picks. So you still have to hit on those. There's no excuse on that. And that, I think Rizzo would be honest with you if you got him. You know, it just understood like, hey, man, you haven't been good enough. I think he would understand that as well. But I think in trades and in free agency, when he's actually had the money to spend, he's been good. But they're not doing that right now. So it's just a problem.
So that gets to kind of like the next phase of this, which is Rizzo's response. And he said, like, ownership has proven in the past they will spend money, and they will spend when it's time to spend. And that, I think, is where a lot of Nats fans who are being protective of the team, or who, you know, if you want to call them homers or like whatever, if you want to take the pro Nat side of this, is like, yeah, okay, well, when it was time to spend on not Ryan Zimmerman, who am I?
Strauss.
Jason Worth. Like,
yeah.
You know, in terms of like the jump start on the free agency, then obviously they spent on Scherzer. Like, when it's time to spend, they'll hit the gas. And that was what Rizzo essentially told the Junks on Wednesday. My question would be, like, one, do you believe them at this stage? And two, has there been harm done by not doing it yet? Or if they hit the ground running next year and open up the checkbook, then is all forgiven and the Nats are going to be good for a half decade or more?
So a couple of things. Their time to spend, in my opinion, was this past offseason. Maybe they look at it as one more down the line, because you'll have a full year of James Wood, see what he's like, and he looks every bit as good as you could have thought. You'll have a full year of Dylan Cruz. You'll have a full year of these other guys. But to your point earlier, the clock starts ticking on guys like Abrams and Gore that have been here before. So I don't quite understand why they would say, let's wait. So to me, I've actually held out that reservation of getting on ownership about spending the last couple of years saying, look, I don't think that it's just quite the time yet. There's no point in spending on a guy where you're going to be paying this guy $30 million a year and maybe he gives you four or five more wins, but you're still a 75-win ball club. You know, the Worth signing was a perfect timing where they were getting close to being good. And then, you know, he was signed in 2011, 2012. They're in the playoffs for the first time and they're one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. So it was a perfect timing for that. I thought this year would have been the timing for that because you could have timed it up with helping out some of these younger guys in their first go round. Maybe they look at it as next year. I think what Mike Rizzo's doing there is he's covering for ownership, frankly, and he does a good job of that because they have shown in the past that they are willing to spend. But it's also a completely different world, Craig. I mean, the reality is they won the World Series pre-COVID. A lot of their business stuff has been hurt post-COVID. And so you wonder how much do they actually have to spend, and are they really in a bit of a pickle here with, yeah, you want them to go spend on free agents, but maybe they don't have the capital like they did pre-COVID.
So then there's, I guess, the final part of this, which is Rosenthal's conclusion, statement, whatever, posit that all these guys are gone, that Abrams, Gore, like when they hit free agency, that's the last you'll see in a Nats, of them in a Nats jersey. So if you bought a Mackenzie Gore, CJ Abrams jersey, enjoy it while you can, but in 5 years, he's going to be wearing a different jersey than you are. Is that fair? Is that accurate? Or do you give the Nationals a chance to retain some of this in-house talent longer than their cost-controlled contracts extend?
I mean, the way things are right now, Craig, there's no way that you can say that they're going to stick around. And frankly, when you look at the history of this team, you could build darn near an all-star team of guys that have left, and the guys that have been retained are few and far between. It's a Zim, it's a Steven Strasburg, which turned out to be a horrendous contract. It's not many. I mean, look at all the guys that have left. Anthony Rendon, obviously he's been injured. It would have been wrong to sign either one of Strasburg or Rendon. Who would have thought that? But Rendon's right. Gone, Harper's gone, Soto's gone, Turner's gone, like so many dudes. And some of those were traded away, understanding that maybe you couldn't.
Well, right, you understand them. That you're not going to Correct. Retain them, so you get the value, which is like smart management, but also it'd be better to have good baseball players.
Yeah, and I think that's what just so hurts right now for a lot of Nationals fans is you're looking at guys right now that look like legitimate superstars, because that's what's so weird about this team right now is they're below 500. I think in terms of the expectations that not the fan set, but the actual team themselves in terms of Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. They told everyone that would listen in West Palm at spring training, hey, we're trying to win this year. The actions in the offseason didn't necessarily say that, but from their mouth, they were saying they were trying to win. So if you're holding them that expectation, they're a little bit underwhelming. But CJ Abrams, he's been in a bit of a skid recently, but his offensive numbers overall, he's one of the best hitting shortstops in the league. Mackenzie Gore is leading the league in strikeouts, looks like an ace, took another step this year. James Wood looks like he could win an MVP in a couple of seasons, and the comp that he's getting because of size and the way he plays is Aaron Judge, who's the best hitter in baseball right now. So I think it's showing like they're going in the right direction. They're going up and up and up, but they need to have that little bit more, and I think that's the frustration, because if they had, say, a bopper in right field, a guy that could give you 25, 30 homers, if they had another pitcher in the rotation so that you're not throwing out Trevor Williams every fifth day and maybe he's more in a reserve sort of role, if you had those sorts of things, if you had a bullpen that you could rely on, this team could be well above 500 or at least above 500 for sure, and they're not there because there just hasn't been that investment. So I don't think it's unfair to say that all these guys could end up leaving, but I also don't think it's something that if you're a Nationals fan, man, just go look at 2028 and figure what it's going to look like without Gore and without Abrams. Like, I don't think it's worth doing that yet because that's still a time in the future. And Gore is a Boris guy. Abrams is not. Maybe you could find a way to get something done with Abrams. And also, too, I think having, you know, James Wood is a Boris guy. That's the guy to me that I'd be immediately contacting him right now. Boris loves to get his guys to free agency. Maybe you could work something out because James Wood is from the area. I mean, he's from Maryland, Rockville area. And maybe you could find something there. His family's at all these games. He's a soft-spoken guy, seems to really enjoy having his family around. Maybe you could try to find something there. I'm not sure if that would be able to win him over or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think the premise is unfair, but I also don't think, you know, for a Nationals fan that you should be doom and gloom right now with a team that's actually pretty exciting to watch.
We'll see if they can keep it going, and maybe they get to that 500 mark, and who knows by the end of the season if they're messing around at the bottom of the wild card standings and they're in the picture. Maybe we could have an exciting September. Although then again, these days we're not as nervous about having a bad September on the football side of it. So at least we'll have that to talk about. But Toby, he's got a podcast. And let me tell you, when the team's bad and you're doing a podcast, we had some rough years to take command, Toby. I know how you feel.
Oh, yeah.
Busting Loose Baseball. It's there for you, win or lose. Busting Loose Baseball, Toby and Grant Paulson. Check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate it.
Always great, Craig.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it again. Toby Altizer with us. Speaking of take command, 5 o'clock, you'll hear Logan and I give our impressions of what we saw at OTAs earlier in the week. 5:30, never read the comments here on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. 5 o'clock. If you want to know what Logan Paulson and I thought of the Commanders OTA session on Wednesday, and you haven't heard it yet, it's coming right to you. Take command style. So that'll be coming up in just a little bit. Never read the comments coming up at 5:30. But, real quick before the break here. We got a couple of minutes to yap about Anthony Haney. a big game tonight at the Artist, formerly known as the Entertainment and Sports Arena, now CareFirst Arena, as where the Mystics are going to take on the New York Liberty. A New York Liberty team, Anthony, that is probably the second best team in the WNBA so far this season. The Minnesota Lynx are undefeated and crushing people. Nafisa Collier has been the best player in the league so far. The Liberty have been fantastic, but they barely last weekend beat a Indiana Fever team that the Mystics just beat. Granted, they had Caitlin Clark when that matchup happened. The Mystics obviously did not when they won in Baltimore on Wednesday. But they last night were in a dogfight with the Golden State Valkyrie, the expansion team, which has really played, I think, much better than certainly I anticipated. They have a lot of players that are international players. Like, it's just a lot of players that you haven't really heard of. And they've been able to put together a nice crew. They play well together, all that kind of stuff. And as a result, they really pushed New York last night at home, like Golden State on the road at Barclays Center. And so now you got New York, second night of a back-to-back against this scrappy, hungry, talented Mystics team that is still coming together. But you're starting to see some signs that this team, again, I don't think they're going to be top of the league this year, but you see this young core coming together, like the game Shakira Austin had Wednesday night, and oh, I would not want to play this Washington team. So this is a great test for the Mystics tonight.
Definitely a good test, and like you said, like, we're still coming together. Wednesday was the first game. We had Brittany, Aaliyah, and who I'm forgetting, Shakira.
Yeah,
my bad. All played together. So again, like, they got to work out some kinks. Also, I know coming into the season, Coach Johnson didn't necessarily want, you know, B Sykes on the ball, but, you know, she's been thrust into that role because of the injury to Georgia. So figuring that out as well. So I think that's what the beginning of the season is for, though, working out those kinks. And then, you know, as we get towards the middle of the season and things of that nature, I think we'll start to, you know, really hit our stride. But that win on Wednesday was pretty encouraging because, again, the Fever is still loaded, like, with talent. So this is a good test to, like, see where we are, and we'll go from there.
The incredible, like, high IQ nature of some of their players is just so much fun to watch, and specifically Sonia Citron, the rookie who had 13 points the other night, actually got off 12 shots, which feels like more than when you watch. Like, she just, it's like, oh, that's nice bucket. She just finds ways to get shots off that are good quality shots. And as a result, she's shooting a very high percentage for a guard this season. And that's with going 0-4 from three, which is not her nature. She was shooting near 50% from three before that game on Wednesday night. But you said Brittany Sykes, AKA Slim, she has been sensational this year. She had one really bad game, but that's it. You know, it's otherwise been above 20 points, one of the top scorers in the W. And it really comes down to a couple things, I think, for Washington, and especially tonight. Like, one, do you have an answer for Stewie, who last night had an SGA-esque, was it 16 trips to the line, I think?
Yeah.
Something like that. So can you play her without fouling? And can you not turn the basketball over? Sykes, even on the win the other night, 21 points, love that. 9 rebounds, love that. 7 turnovers, not ideal. But this is someone who's not used to handling the ball at, like, point guard levels and was not supposed to necessarily this year. So that's going to be a continued thing. Like, and I think as you get Shakira and Aaliyah back up to their full complement of minutes, you maybe make some tweaks to the rotation. Currently, those two are coming off the bench because the starting lineup is playing so well together. But if you start to make some tweaks and you have some different players that can handle the ball more, even if it's as bigs, where you trust Aaliyah and Shakira to maybe make a few extra decisions or even ISO and take a couple extra possessions away from Slim. I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch as this season goes on, and certainly something that we'll watch tonight. Also, heck of a test for Citron and Slim tonight, guarding Sabrina Ionescu, who's having a phenomenal start to the season. Got to stay on her. Got to know where she is at all times because she will let it fly from 3. 7:30 tip-off on ION, which means we do not have the play-by-play here tonight on the Team 980, but you can watch Christy and Megan call the game on ION tonight. if you are interested in that. We'll preview the rest of what's happening this weekend later on in our weekend preview. But next, Commanders OTAs recap. You got to hear what Logan Paulson saw the other day when we were out in Ashburn next here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.